限界な夢の後の何もない世の中じゃ。
Hello everyone, and this is our third part of our Digimon Adventure novel series. So there's been a bit of a gap between this episode and the previous episode. I've just been kind of busy, unable to really put out any podcast episodes, but I'm hopefully going to get back on it and try to release these with some form of regularity and sense. So today we'll be looking at the end of chapter one of the first book, and this is just part five, so it's the last part of chapter one, so let's begin. Part five. Where are we? It was the ocean. Tai Chi peered through the round lens of his mini telescope as he gazed at the horizon, where the marine blue of the sea and the azure blue of the sky melted together. The feel of the waves as they crested felt as lukewarm as a heated swimming pool, and the air smelled salty. Tai Chi put his mini telescope, not in his shorts like he always did, but in his pockets of his briefs. His shorts, blue t-shirt and socks were drying on top of a rock along the green, orange and white shirts of the other boys. Just then, Tai Chi's stomach complained. "Hey, Joe," he asked, "don't you feel hungry?" "No can do," Joe scowled, purposely putting a hand over the flap of the rectangular bag at his side. It was filled with the emergency food supply. "You've already eaten your share for the afternoon. Wait for when I distribute it again at night." But it was not only Tai Chi who was hungry. Feeling his own empty stomach squirm, Yamato grumbled, "When is it going to get darker anyway?" And then he glared at Joe as it was his fault. No one could really blame him. The flow of time here felt as it was inching along. The position of the sun and the shadows that the sun made didn't look like they've even moved. "I wonder what time it is now," Koshiro said forlornly. He had attempted to use his cell phone and laptop to investigate, but neither of them worked. And he thought he'd still had a lot of battery life left over. "She mentioned it was 35 a.m, was it?" Tai Chi said with a wry smile. He'd suddenly remember the minute they had arrived on the beach, when he had tried using one of the nearby telephone booths to call home. The person who picked up at the other end indicated the time as if it was some incredible joke. Too bad he didn't find it funny. "Digimon, I remember hearing that word before," Tai Chi revealed to Koshiro as he slid his newly dried t-shirt over his head. It felt crinkly and smelled faintly of salt. "From where?" "I forget. It was like something that caught my attention briefly as I was passing by. Someone said it." Tai Chi was often forgetful, but he remembered that it was Hikari who had said it. He was pretty sure that while they were watching a news report about abnormal weather, Hikari had said, "Digimon." He just didn't want to reveal her just yet. "Let me tell you about my personal hypotheses," Koshiro said, his back turned towards the others as he modestly put his dried shirt back on. "I think this place is perhaps a theme park that has been developed in absolute secrecy."
"I see," Tai Chi said. "Its concept may be for us children to enjoy an adventure with these strange Digimon beings who live on this island."
Tai Chi confused the word concept with consent and made a strange face for an instant, but he decided not to interrupt.
"Perhaps you heard the word Digimon because information about them has been leaked somewhere. The internet, for example."
"That makes sense," Tai Chi thought. This was all very logical.
"This place is probably located in or near Okinawa. I mean, look at the climate and the blue sea,"
Koshiro said, motioning to their surroundings.
"Either that, or we're on Hachijo Island."
"Doesn't matter which," Tai Chi shrugged. "They both still mean that we're pretty far from the campgrounds."
"Yes.
I wonder how we ended up here."
"The only explanation I can come up with is that we have been abducted."
"Abducted?"
"It means we've been kidnapped."
"Hey now," Tai Chi said uneasily. He had always watched television reports on kidnappings with a distant air, as his father was a normal salaryman with only a modest income. He'd never thought that he'd become part of one.
"I did say there was a kidnapping, but either our parents or the camp committee must have approved this. If not, this is highly felonous."
"Felonous, huh?" Tai Chi couldn't help but secretly admire the range of Koshiro's vocabulary. This was the first time in his life Tai Chi himself had ever used the word felonous. Tai Chi quieted into thought. If what Koshiro had said was true, then it wouldn't hurt to enjoy this adventure to the fullest. It was true that while they were attacked by the stag beetle monster,
He had almost peed himself to death from sheer terror, but when he thought about it now, it made his heart race with excitement. If there are more thrills out there that are as electrifying as that, I'm going all out. Night still would not arrive. The children took turns building up an unending chorus of, "I'm hungry, and can we eat yet?" to which Joe answered firmly, "No," every time. But even Joe keenly felt the pangs of hunger in his own stomach. The emergency food supply that Joe was guarding was enough for 3 days. Joe's group had 6 people, so 6 people times 3 days times 3 meals would equal 54 meals. They also added the snacks that went in Takaru's backpack and divided it for 7 people. The Digimon said that they didn't need the food, which was a big help. According to their calculations, everything altogether would provide enough for 4 days' worth. Even so, it was not guaranteed that they would be able to get home within those days, or even at all. So Joe was determined to make the food last as long as possible. "I won't hand it over." As the leader, Joe accepted that he must act harsh, and even at times, unbearable for everyone's sakes. Sora quietly went over to Joe just then. "Hey, Joe-san." At this point, Joe's high-wired nerves had begun to suspect that everyone was planning to steal the food supply from him, so Sora's casual and meaningless words made him feel like he was stepping on the edge of an open Venus flytrap. Naturally snapped at her, "What?" "About our food supply, could you at least give Yamato-kun's brother something? The rest of us will be okay." "Huh?" Joe searched for the innocent-looking boy who stuck close to Yamato all the time. In the shade of a cherry blossom tree that was in full bloom, what was a cherry blossom tree doing here and growing in the middle of summer? Takeru was leaning his head against the trunk, looking a little ill. Next to him sat not his older brother Yamato, but Mimi, who hated to get sunburned and came to cool herself. Of course, their newly evolved partners were with them. Everyone appeared to be worried about Takeru. Yamato was fanning him with a long wooden plank that he must have picked up from the beach. Joe thought about it. He too felt sorry for the younger boy. But it would be over for his leadership if he went back on what it was already decided upon. Give them an opening and they'll soon be walking all over him. He just couldn't have that. Joe was all too aware of his own indecisive personality. "No," Joe said with a curt tone. Sora sighed. She thought perhaps of asking him to at least give Takeru's snacks back, but instead shut her mouth into a tight line and walked quietly back to where everyone else was under the cherry blossoms. When they heard what had transpired between her and Joe, Yamato and the others glared coldly in Joe's direction. What was this, a dictatorship? Growing very uncomfortable under their accusing eyes, Joe drew the bag of emergency food close to him and went to the seashore, in the area where the girls had previously been drying their clothes. At the seashore, Joe's Digimon partner, who had changed both name and shape, he was now called Goemon and looked like a seal cub. He was splashing around the water, happily sending sprays of it everywhere. "Hey, come join me, Joe!" But Joe did not feel like answering Goemon's invitation. He sat on top of a rock, keeping to his pensive thoughts. If he had known that things would turn out this way, he would have never come to camp. He should have just done what his dad had told him and taken summer prep courses for his middle school exams. That would have been much more preferable anyway. The more he stewed over it, the more bitterness he felt towards the bright sun and its uneven outline. Towards the clear blue sky, the cheerfully spraying ocean, the fresh, salty air, towards Goemon, Sora, Yamato, Takeru, and the emergency food supply. Standing up abruptly, he tore off his armband and ripped it to pieces in frustration. It was such a small act, but it did make him feel better. Just then, on a darker part of the shore nearby, the hole the size of a miniature garden opened in the sand, gushing out a violent spray of water. "What's that?" "Gyaaah!" Joe came rushing as fast as he could towards the group underneath the cherry blossom tree, a greatly agitated look on his pale features. The others simply stared at him. "What could be wrong?" Mimi asked with worry, pulling on the strings of her 10-gallon hat. "Who knows?" Sora said coolly, remembering Joe's attitude earlier. But then, they all spotted the enormous pink monster charging open-mouthed behind Joe, the tentacles on its head twitching like an erratic sea anemone as it dragged the spiral shell it carried on its back. Any ill feelings that they had felt for Joe immediately vanished. "Joe!" Yamato cried out as he rushed forward to help the older boy. Meanwhile, Sora called for her team partner. "Tai Chi! Tai Chi!" Mimi could only stand there, quaking, both hands covering her mouth. While they waited for Tai Chi, they didn't want attacked. Marching fishes! Petit fire! Poison ivy! Air shot! Magical fire!
The Digimon began to attack, trying to stop the giant hermit crab's movement when Tai Chi and Koshiro arrived.
What's going on? Tai Chi yelled. It's Shellmon, Tentomon said, rushing forward to join the battle.
Agumon did the same.
Baby flame! Petit thunder!
But even with all seven attacking, it wasn't very effective against Shellmon's colossal size.
Shoo!
With a roar, a strange, almost fricative sound, Shellmon blasted out from its mouth a vicious spray of salt water. The force of the water was not something to shrug at. Agumon and the others were swept away by the giant hydraulic pressure.
Agumon!
Before he knew what he was doing, Tai Chi had rushed forward to Agumon's aid. Koshiro cried out,
Tai Chi-san, don't!
But his voice didn't reach him.
Shoo!
Sitting on the top of the fallen Digimon, Shellmon persistently continued sprouting water at its surroundings. The telephone booths on the shore that were caught in its sweeping attack fell one after the other and were destroyed.
Agumon!
Seeing Tai Chi running without even seeing the danger, Yamato yelled out, You idiot! And chased after him. Just then, whether purposefully or on a whim, Shellmon rolled up the sand on the shore, tossing grains up in the air.
Wah!
Yamato yelped in surprise and stopped running. The sudden sandstorm blinded his vision. And then,
Wah!
They heard Tai Chi scream. The sand settled to reveal him captured within Shellmon's grisly, glistening hand.
Tai Chi! Tai Chi-san!
One after another, the children called out Tai Chi's name.
Tai Chi!
Agumon also shouted from beneath Shellmon's stomach. But no matter how hard he tried to twist himself free, he couldn't crawl out from under there.
Urgh, urgh.
Shellmon brought his hand, holding Tai Chi to his head. Its eerie yellow tentacles wriggled below Tai Chi's feet. Is there a mouth inside those tentacles that'll suck up all my fluids and digest me? Tai Chi thought, breaking into a cold sweat.
Tai Chi! Tai Chi!
Agumon continued to cry as he struggled. Tears of frustration were streaming down his own face.
I have to protect Tai Chi, but I can't. If only Tai Chi wished it. If only he wished for me to become stronger.
Several of the tentacles reached up, entwining themselves until they touched Tai Chi's knees. Tai Chi lost all hope. Am I going to die? He whispered to himself. His instinct refused to accept that.
No, I won't die. Help me! Help me, Agumon!
Tai Chi's blue digivice immediately glowed. Its gauge ascended until it broke past the critical point. Rising to a level high up that could have not been physically seen in the digital world, it became a dazzling light when it reached its summit, exploding into what appeared at a glance to look like a bulky, disordered mass of information. This flow of information was at a scale that could rival the galaxy, and pieces of it reacted to the light that was selected.
Greymon!
Each of the small fragments of this information glowed as they gathered together and flowed towards a specific point. The tumbling sequence of light became a helix which rained down invisibly on the data that would equip Agumon. The information describing his form was written in a flash, and even called in for greater mass until, with a blaze of light that looked like flames, he transformed.
Agumon evolve! Greymon!
He succeeded in another evolution. The last time, he had evolved to save his fellow Digimon friends from danger, but now, it was solely to protect the children's lives. The Greymon that appeared along with the white light and had a giant body that was not to be outdone by Shellmon. He looked fierce, like a true dinosaur, a massive, orange-skinned dinosaur. Greymon used his three-fingered claws to grab at Shellmon's wrist, the one that held Tai Chi captive, and thrust the horn that protruded from the headpiece he wore across half the face of Shellmon's neck.
Shoo!
Its cries were not those of a wicked triumph, but shrieks of pain. While Shellmon writhed about, Greymon saved Tai Chi from Shellmon's grip.
Thanks, Tai Chi said to Greymon.
Greymon growled low in his throat and faced Shellmon, scorching the clump of his tentacles on his head that had frightened Tai Chi, with a blistering ball of fire at point-blank range.
Shoo!
A nauseating stench arose from the smouldering tentacles, and Tai Chi reflectively covered both his mouth and nose. Before Greymon could attempt to expel more fire, Shellmon fled speedily, for all its bulk, into the sea. It disappeared into the safety of the water's depths as it raged at them wordlessly with the useless threats of a loser. Yamato and the others, who had been watching from a distance, put their hands up to their hearts and sighed in relief. When Mimi saw something above her and whispered, "What could that be?" Sora followed her gaze. A black object that looked like a rotating flying saucer was whizzing from their right to the left as it retreated from the coastline. "Oh, it's a UFO," Mimi said, nodding to herself. But Sora didn't think so. The object had been round,
but also spiky. It looked more to her like a gear. So thanks for listening to that. Hopefully it was good. That was the conclusion of chapter one. Again, thank you for Onkay for the translation. And join us next time for this beginning of chapter two. The link dumps linked in the description. So we'll link where you can find Onkay's translation. Our Redbubble's linked in the description. And you can get more than just shirts there too. You can contact us and stay updated. You can email us at lostintranslationmon@gmail.com. Or you can comment on this episode or message us on any of our social media accounts. And those social media accounts are @Translation on Twitter, Lost in Translation on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And we have a discussion thread on With the Will and a Red Thread in Digimon subreddit. And we would appreciate if you would review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any other podcast listening app that you use. Ratings assist people finding out the podcast. Also, I've heard. We also have a website. Vote in polls, check out our release schedule, and check out our blog posts. You can donate to our Patreon, which is linked in the description, from as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you access to a listen Discord server, but there are higher levels with more rewards such as notes, early episodes, and more. And thank you to our supporters on Patreon, Joe, Anime Guy, Chris Hucky in the number one on YouTube, Stephen Reeves, WildWing64 on Archive of Our Own, Kaidawashi, Chisai, who you can follow on Tumblr at Chisai236, Kyle, Tom, Lizmet, who is a Lekmon on Tumblr, Nicholas, Sam, Spiral, Keith, from a computer podcast on the internet, Magnus, Annabelle, and Hemi. You can also make a one-off donation on our PayPal, which can be found in the description. It's paypal.me/airdemon. Make sure to listen to us for the podcast. I also have a Ko-fi, by the way. That's also should be linked in the description. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye!